You served as ambassador of Mexico from 93 to June of 97, assisting with the passage of the implementation of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which is an agreement that has contributed to increases in agricultural trade, investment between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. What part did you play in that passage?
Before it was done, as I say, I was a group of CEOs in New York that were part of a larger business group that was promoting the administration and Congress to negotiate and pass NAFTA. George H.W. Bush had basically completed the negotiations, and then Clinton wins the race in 92. During the transition, I had been, first of all, asked if I would be interested in being considered for director of OMB. And I said, maybe in a second term, but I can't right now. I couldn't tell them at the time, but I was trying to put together a merger of the American Stock Exchange and the New York Stock Exchange. And I said, business just doesn't allow me. A few weeks later, I got a call, how about being ambassador to Japan? I said, I have no interest in being an ambassador, never did. Take me off the ambassador's list. And besides, business won't let me. I'm doing something else that I can't interrupt. Well, that merger thing fell through early in 93. And about May of 93, President Clinton called. I was just going out on a 10-day trip. I periodically would go around the country meeting with CEOs of our traded equity companies. I was just about to go out on a 10-day trip. President called at the office, started talking about the economy. And, of course, you're always glad to be advising the president on the state of the economy and what he should do and this and that. And so we talked, and I finally said, Mr. President, I would love to talk some more, but I've got to catch a plane, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, that's not why I called you anyway. And he said, I want you to be ambassador to Mexico. I said, oh, Mr. President, I have no interest in being an ambassador. I appreciate the honor and all. And he said, no, he said, NAFTA's in trouble. You got the reputation of putting bipartisan coalitions together. I need you to do this. I said, let me think about it, and I'll call you when I come back. Because I hadn't told any of my directors. And it leaked from the White House that he had offered this to me during this trip. So I called, and he said, well, I need you to do it. President Johnson had told us in the future, if any president, Democrat or Republican, ever calls and says he needs you, you just drop whatever you're doing and you do it. So I said, okay, I'll agree to do it for a year to help pass NAFTA and help implement NAFTA. I'll do it for a year. In that year, we passed it, we implemented it. Then you had the Chiapas uprising, you had an election and everything else, and I ended up doing it 4 years. They said they would like for me to do it another 4 years, and had I been 10 years younger or older, I would have done it. It was one of the great experiences of my life.
But there were facts or myths out there that NAFTA cost the U.S. jobs, had hurt America's manufacturing base, had suppressed U.S. wages. Those kind of arguments were out there against NAFTA.
They were out there, and they were totally untrue. Every study that was made of NAFTA showed it increased jobs. The jobs that were related to NAFTA trade were on average 15 to 18% higher than jobs that were not related, that were strictly domestic. The trade between us more than quadrupled. Every study except one early on showed that it was a net benefit to the United States, but the opposition who opposed it, and it was mostly labor unions, who opposed it in the beginning, kept opposing it, and created the myth that it was not successful, but it was very successful.